Satyam chitayo savohite.
Rishis use big words.
Dikshanuja janmo pasada shirodaram.
Dikshanuja janmo pasada shirodaram.
Tvam prayaniyo dayaniyadamstra. Shakam kratoho. Satyava satyam chitayo sabohite.
Bolye.
Upasadaha. Three kinds of desires. Relationship. Activities. And ultimate goal. Sounds like. Abhideya. Shiradharam. The neck. Tvam. You. Lord Bore. Prayaniya. After the result of initiation. Udayaniya. The last rites of desire.
The last rites of desire.
Dangstraha. The tusks.
Jiva.
The tongue.
Savargya.
Prior activities.
Tava.
Your.
Shirshakam.
Head.
Craft the whole.
Of the sacrifice.
Satya.
Fire without sacrifice.
Avasatyam.
Fire of worship.
Chittayaha.
Aggregate of all desires.
Ashavath.
Life breath.
Certainly.
Te.
Your.
Translation by St. Paul.
Moreover,
O Lord, the repetition of your appearance is the desire for all kinds of initiation. Your neck is the place for three desires, and your tusks are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. Your head is the fire without sacrifice, as well as the fire of worship. And your living forces are the aggregate of all desires. So, after the appearance of Lord Bor, to lift the earth out of the garment of ocean, the sages began to offer respects and prayers. And go back to two verses here. O unconquerable enjoyer of all sacrifices, all glories and all victories unto you, enjoyer of all sacrifices. You are moving in your form of the personified Vedas, and in the hair holes of your body the oceans are submerged. For certain reasons you have now assumed the form of a boar. O Lord, your form is worshipable by performance of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see you. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri, and others are in the touch of your skin. In your bodily hairs is the kusha grass. In your eyes is the clarified butter. In your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. Your tongue is the plate of sacrifice. Your nostril, another plate of sacrifice. Your belly, the eating plate of sacrifice. And another plate of sacrifice is the holes of your ears. In your mouth is the Brahma plate of sacrifice. Your throat is a plate of sacrifice, known as Soma. Whatever you chew is known as the Agnihotra. Yeah. So Prabhupada was saying yesterday that some people, they say there's nothing more to the Vedas than performance of sacrifices. Right? Four different fruity results. I'm going to do the Agni Stoma sacrifice and I'll become, you know, I'll be able to go to live with the gods afterwards. And I'll be able to enjoy Somaras for 10,000 years. Wow. Yeah. And there's no form to the Lord. And the Lord doesn't have his form, his desire, his ambitions, his goal. He doesn't feel anything. That. I mentioned that Lord Varaha, when Hiranyaksha insulted him by saying, calling him amphibious beast, oh amphibious beast. He felt a little, you know, was insulted. Little pain, but more like just, you know, insulted us. He thought he was looking very good. This guy's calling him an amphibious beast. You know. So he responded by insulting him. He said, yes, true it is that we are beast of the forest. And we are used to hunting dogs like you. So they exchanged these kind of low-class insults for a while. You know, pig, dog. You know, and all of a sudden they began to fight. So he's equal to everybody. But he has a form. And that form is the Vedas. And the whole purpose of all the Vedas is sacrifice. So his ears are for hearing the sacrifice. His tongue is for tasting the sacrifice. His nose is for smelling the sacrificial incense, the burning fat from the human sacrifices. Moreover, O Lord, the repetition of your appearance is a desire for all kinds of initiation. Yeah? Your neck is the place for three desires, and your tusks are the results of initiation and the end of all desires. See, how does it go? Appearance is a desire for initiation. So we're desiring to be initiated as the Lord Bor appears. And then his neck is the three processes, initiation, study, and realization. And your tests are the result of initiation and the end of all desires. That sounds like the Vyojana. Your tongue is the prior activities of initiation. So it means prior initiation, there's certain activities. What are they called? Word for this, but prior something better. Oh yeah, it's sitting here. Pravar. Yeah. Pravargya. And then the big discussion, you know, but because before you take initiation, there's so many things you have to do. You're gonna do pranayama, you're gonna do good charity properly, all these things you have to do. So why don't we do these in the Krishna consciousness movement? People criticize this, Prabhupada says one purport. But he says we do it. So initiation there means, especially in this Vedic sense, Gayatri initiation. The Gayatri initiation. So he said before we give Gayatri initiation, we require the people for 1 year before they can go in the deity room or perform a sacrifice, they must engage in this Harinam Sankirtan, Yajna, and follow four principles and other activities like that for 1 year minimum. And this purifies us of these different bad reactions, good reactions, karma. Then we can chant the Gayatri in the proper attitude. Only one who can be situated in the mode of goodness can be awarded Gayatri mantras, and he can actually have some result from them. So you have to be peaceful. You have to be able to sit there and then hear the sounds. And then these are actually, this is explaining, these are actually the body of Krishna. Right? The body of Krishna. Prabodhananda Saraswati was an incarnation of the Gopi Tunga Vidya, one of the eight principal gopis. The uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, a great Brahmin, powerful Brahmin from South India, he says that beyond this world of sensuous pleasures and distress, the endless cycles of birth and death, is the unlimited, uninterrupted, intense, blissful light of the Brahma Jyoti. And beyond that are the Vaikuntha worlds, unlimited planets, where Vishnu always resides as a 16-year-old boy in the peak of artistic craftsmanship and worship like that. But within those, there is one planet called Goloka, which is a beautiful forest. And within that forest, there is a special grove where Radha and Krishna meet in pastimes so confidential even the gopis don't participate. And then among, and there, their kiss is the Bija Mantra, the Kama Gayatri, right? So, if you're chanting this Gayatri Mantra, you've got to be pretty advanced to appreciate what you've got like that. So pronouncing these things, this Bija Mantra, the Kama Gayatri, and for the vote of goodness, we can appreciate that. Wow, it's very nice. In the West, the Prabhupada says that in the West, sound is just, where does it go? He goes, put, but. He goes three words that are all U-T. P-U-T, B-U-T, and I forget what the other one, what it is. Put, but, and something else. But it's pronounced three different ways. It's spelled the same way. It's spelled the same way, but it's pronounced three different ways. He says, it's not like that in Sanskrit. Pronunciation is exact. One time in Ghaziabad, near Delhi, there's one brahmachari, and he had graduated from Varanasi in Sanskrit. He had his PhD. Very humble guy. You know. But he was pronouncing these mantras, and it was so pleasant. It wasn't like, you know, big rolling vibration like the so-and-so sukta. It was every syllable was being pronounced correctly. The the accent of the syllables were twice as long. You could hear that. It was just like very, very nice. It's very pleasant. You know, satisfying. So it's, you know, Prabhupada wanted, he said, I wrote my books in such a way that I thought anybody who studied them thoroughly would learn Sanskrit. Yeah? Yeah? And he would stop classes and make everybody pronounce the mantras. A few times. Every single person would go through and have them chant the prayer, the shloka for the day, one after another, and then correct them one after another like that. Yeah? So sometimes, if it's possible, okay, you learn Sanskrit. It's nice. The Sanskrit is composed of dhatus, right? Dhatus. And dhatus are fundamental sounds, which are elemental sounds that relate to the elemental nature of reality. For example, what is the dhatu punk? You know? What does it represent? They sound like, if you say them properly, that thing is produced. You see? Punk. Punk. Yeah, mud. Yeah, it sounds like it, right? Pum. You drop a rock, and pum. You know, and jaw. What does jaw mean? Hallelujah. Birth. So the lotus is born from the mud, therefore it's called Pankaja. Yeah, Pankaja, 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 Pankaja. Like that. And Sandhi is how these things combine together in a certain way. You know, if you get like an eye, we got here an example. For example, you got Diksha, Anujanma, right? So there's an A followed by an A. So the Sandhya rule is when the A followed by an A, long A followed by a short A, it becomes a long A. So it's Diksha Anujanma becomes Diksha Anujanma. So it just flows like that. And after that we got Upa Sadaha. Janma Upa. So Janma Upa, Janma Upa, Janma Upa. An A followed by a U becomes an O. These rules of Sandhi, there's so many rules. There's some basic rules, but it's, I forgot, 400 like rules. And Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, when he was an arrogant youth, right? He was growing up, and he was a great scholar, you know. And Nabadweep at that time was one of the centers of learning in India, maybe one of the greatest places like that. And there are many Bhattacharyas there, great professors with their schools and teaching, you know, the Sanskrit knowledge so you could organize your thinking and maintain so many thoughts and so many ideas at the same time and in relationship and understand reality so profoundly. Very, great thinkers. So, so many Bhattacharyas there. And Lord Chaitanya would go in with his gang, cowherd boys, Krishna with the cowherd boys, killing demons. He would go into these schools and stand there in the entrance of the school, look around like that, and he would, you know, draw attention, and he would say, the person in this school, the teacher, the guru, he calls himself Bhattacharya. But what to speak of grammar or rhetoric or poetry, he doesn't even know the rules of Sandhi. Like that. Okay. It's like that. You know? So that's what they would do. They would challenge each other. So then he would argue with the acharya some point of Sandhi, defeat him. Then he would take the opposite point and defeat him that way. So after some time, when this was going on, when people saw Nimai coming, the acharyas would run out the back door like that and come back later like that. But it says that even though he defeated all these people in their demoniac mentalities of arrogance, just like Krishna was killing all the demons, he was killing all the demons of these people's, you know, pride and stuff there, while worshiping Durga. And it says, even though he defeated them, nobody was angry at him. They all felt, you know, it was great fun in the same way too, like that. And so one time he was walking around Nabadweep like this with his friends, you know. And Srivas, who was the same age as his father. His father was gone, so like his father in that sense, you know. Srivas saw him and said, "Oh, crest jewel of arrogance. Oh, crest jewel of arrogance. You know all the scriptures perfectly. When are you going to become a Vaishnava?" So Nimai turned red and said, "Oh, Srivas, I'm having so much fun. Just give me a little while longer." And went on. Srivas couldn't understand what he was saying, what he meant like that. So he didn't manifest himself as a devotee or give devotional service for some time, but he went around with his gang, killing demons and having so much fun. Nimaya Nadia Kijat. So Sanskrit learning. And so then these Prabhupada says, this is not ink on paper. This is not just ink on paper. This is Vedas. This is the form of the Lord. Even St. Francis of Assisi, San Francisco, whenever he saw any scripture on the ground, some paper with something written on it, he would always make people pick it up like that. One time there's a videotape. One professor was visiting the temple in Los Angeles on Saturday or something, and devotees had given a very nice tour and talked to him. And he took him to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking to him. And somebody gave him the Bhagavad Gita, and he put it down on the floor in front of him. And Prabhupada looked at it and picked it up and said, how are you going to correct such a elevated person, you know? So Prabhupada picked it up and said, "Oh, this is a very venerable book. You should either put it on a high place or on my head," like that. So the professor didn't put it on Prabhupada's head. He laughed and said, "Oh, yeah. On the table, sir." You know? I didn't know. Yeah? So you see, I probably corrected him perfectly, so he didn't feel, you know, like man's correcting me, you know, with great humility. You know? So it's not ordinary books. So I think the main point here is, again and again, all these verses, is that the form of the Lord they're seeing before them is the form of the Vedas, and the form of the Vedas is a person. That, you know? Famous story Prabhupada tells that when Acharya, I think it was Ramanuja's spiritual master, he was reading Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, for those who worship me, I maintain what they have, and what they don't have, I bring it. Vahami aham. I do it. And so he was thinking that somebody, some mistake in the Bhagavad Gita, this is an exaggeration. He must mean that he arranges it through his energy or through the demigods. So he took his pen and scratched it out like that, that line in Bhagavad Gita. Then he went to have his bath and was going to come back for his lunch. And Mrs. Acharya, she went into the storehouse to look for things to cook. There was nothing there. She was thinking, well, wait a second, we had so many things, I thought. You know, becoming bewildered. Then outside she heard his voice, you know, Mataji, Mataji. So then she came out. And there were two boys there. One was very dark complexioned, and one was very fair complexioned. Very attractive. She was immediately just so affectionate to them. He said, what do you want? You know? She said, we brought all these things for the Acharya, you know, rice, dal, everything like that. Well, everything he needs and doesn't have, we brought it. You know? And he said, oh, it's very nice of you. And he said, no, he made us do it. He beat us. Like that. And she said, my husband's a very gentleman, an Acharya. He would never beat any little boys. And the dark complexion boy turned around on his back. There was like these red marks like that. You know? So she was really shocked then. First there's no rice, and then this boy's come, and you extraordinary boys come, and you know, your husband's beating them, you know. So she's sitting there looking at all this stuff, and he comes back, and there's no lunch being cooked, and he says, what's happening? And she tells the whole story, and he listens. She says, I didn't know you're such a cruel person, you know. And he listened to the whole thing, and he just starts to think, you know, what do they look like? Was one like this, one like that? And he was just in ecstatic. He said, that was Krishna and Balaram, like that. So she's amazed. She says, what was, you know? And he's thinking, wow. So Krishna's, when I was scratching Bhagavad Gita, I was cutting Krishna's body. And when he says, Bahami Aham, he means it. He brings the goods, right? So these words are none different than his body, his activities like that. So very elevated prayers, you know? Somas, any comments, questions, complaints? Donation. Anybody can produce some spiritual form now from their mouth? The Brahmanas? Somas Tureta Shravanani Avist Avastiti Samstavi Vedas Tavadeva Dattavaha Satrani Sarvani Sharira Sandhis Tvam Sarva Yagna Kratra Ishta Bandhanaha. O Lord, your semen is a sacrifice called Soma Yagna. Your growth is the ritualistic performances of the morning. Wow. So the morning we're doing these ritualistic performances, that's the growing of the Lord's body. Wow. Your skin and touch sensations are the seven elements of the Agni Stoma sacrifice. Your bodily joints are, what are they? Huh? You don't know these things. Yeah. Oh, you gotta learn something now. Your bodily joints are symbols of various other sacrifices performed in 12 days. Therefore, you are the object of all sacrifices called Soma and Asoma, and you are bound by yagnas only. Wow, Krishna is bound by japa yagna. Yagnanam, yagnanam, japa yagna is me. That's the greatest yagna, he says, japa. Right? We're so fortunate to be engaged by Prabhupada to do this sacrifice. There are seven kinds of routine yagnas, Prabhupada says, performed by all followers of the Vedic rituals, and they are called Agnistama Atya Agnistama Ut Ukta Shodashi Vajapaya Atirat and Aptoriyami. Anyone performing such yajnas regularly is supposed to be situated with the Lord. But anyone who is in contact with the Supreme Lord by discharging devotional service is understood to have performed all kinds of different yajnas. Not bhakti yoga ki.
Yeah.
So people here are not ordinary people. Engaging in devotional service, you've already done all these things. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Namo namo namaste kila mantra devata dravyaya sarva krattave kriyatmane. You are worshipable by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, free from all visible and invisible material contaminations. Ooh, you can realize Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as a supreme master of knowledge in devotional service. And there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six more shlokas to their prayers. These are very nice to chant as a whole and appreciate what's happening. The qualifications of bhakti or devotional service to the Lord is that the qualification of bhakti is that the devotee should be free from all material contaminations and desires. Wow. This freedom is called vairagya or renouncement of material desires. One who engages in devotional service to the Lord according to regular principles is automatically free from material desires. And in that state, that pure state of mind, one can realize the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, instructs the devotee regarding pure devotional service so that he may ultimately achieve the association of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10 as follows. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jainamam upayantate. To one who is constantly engaged in devotional service of the Lord, with faith and love, the Lord certainly gives the intelligence to achieve him at the ultimate end. End quote. One has to conquer the mind. And one may do it by following the Vedic rituals and by performing different types of sacrifice. The ultimate end of all those performances is to attain bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original personality of Godhead, or his innumerable expansions of Vishnu, are the only objects of worship by the Vedic rituals and sacrificial performances. So, a very complicated purport. And Rupa Goswami says, Anyavilasita Shunyam, Gyana Karmati Navritam, Anukulina Krishna Nushilnam Bhakta Uttama. Krishna. But then he expands this to also mean, probably the Purna Nectar Devotion says, it means also Krishna, Krishna's incarnations, Krishna's great devotees, and Krishna's paraphernalia, like his temple. These can also be the object of bhakti, and not just Krishna. Like that as a person. So Prabhupada says incarnations. One time devotees are walking with Prabhupada, I remember this, and they're saying, oh, we saw this yogi, Baba Ramdas. You know him? Henry Alpert. He was a co-conspirator, an associate of Timothy Leary. And he was a professor from Harvard, you know. And he became very famous as a yogi before I guess I'd have had a Krishna book yet or not. I guess I had it. Yeah, I had the Krishna book. I was reading it. And also then I was reading some of his books back in the 1970s. And he had like photograph records, but it had like three of them on two sides. This one long lecture thing. And it's really incredible. So he was, you know, he had all these badges, awards. You can't, what more could you get than to be a professor at Harvard University? And was a bachelor, and he would go scuba diving in the Bahamas, and you know. But still, he said, when he would look in the mirror, and he would think, well, but who am I? Still, like Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who am I? What am I doing? You know. So then LSD came along, and he got involved in that experience, and that kind of like gave him some idea that there was something different to reality. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, yes, in the beginning, marijuana may be useful, for giving you some different perspective, but it very quickly it proves to be a detriment. You know, if you're so much in the mode of ignorance, these stimulants, they give you some different perspective on reality, you know, like that. But so he had something like that. There's more to life than just this gross physical world we see. So then he decided to go to India. He was traveling there and, you know, was just looking for people who knew. He said he would look at somebody and they would look at him and he knew they knew, like that. Something with LSD experiences and, you know, association with something. So finally, at one point, he was in some kind of, you know, tea stall in some place in India, and this beach bum surfer from Laguna Beach, with blonde hair, and it was a yogi guy in India, walked in and looked at him, and he looked at him, and he knew this guy knew. You know? So then the guys didn't talk a lot or something, and then so he started following him around, just gave up his, like, you know, money and traveling and staying in hotels and stuff, and just started walking behind this guy, and the guy would walk here and there and stay here and there and beg from people, and he was walking through cow dung and everything else and had diarrhea, and the guy said, "Don't worry, it'll go away in a couple of days," and it was really, you know, Krishna's arrangement. And then he was thinking about his mother one night. He didn't tell anybody in India about this, but just actually one of the things that pushed him, because a little while before he left, she had cancer of the spleen. And got, you know, very enlarged like that. And during the very last few days, he said he became very close, you know. And then she died. And it was also something very heavy in his heart. But he hadn't told anybody in India about this. So 2 days later, they came to, I think it was either Vrindavan or Lucknow. And then he took him to see Nim Karoli Baba. You know, his temple's not far from his samadhi, his tomb, not far from our ashram in Vrindavan, like that. And he was famous as a magician, always strange things he would do like that. I suppose like 120 years old or something to find out his body. So they went in there, and then this Nim Karoli Baba was with some people, and sitting there maybe just in a gumsha and some copans or some blanket, you know. And he looked at the blonde-haired surfer guy and kind of nodded at him, he nodded back at him, and kind of motioned to his friend. He looked at Henry Alpert, and he's asking questions or something. But then he said, "Your mother, she died, you know." And Henry Alpert was shocked. His mind started like thinking, "Well, who is this guy? This and that." And he said, "And before she died, she got very big in the stomach, like that, you know." And then he said his mind was just going through all these things, like a very intellectual guy trying to figure out, like, how could this guy know this? Did I tell anybody this in India? No, I didn't tell anybody. And his mind was going through more and more, you know, bizarre possible explanations, trying to, you know, rationalize the situation. And then he said his final conclusion of his mind was that this guy was a CIA agent, right? And he had like a thing in his floor there, and people would pull out dossiers on people when they came in like that and read them. My wife's proposing this is a possible explanation. You know? So he said at that point, like, you know, the circuit breaker, when you becomes, oh, you know, too much electricity, his intelligence, booty, just popped, and his intelligence stopped working. His mind just went flat, you know, like, this is going racing faster and faster. Then he felt this intense tugging in his heart, you know, the pain of his mother's like death, and he just started crying like that. This, you know, this all came out, you know, like that. He'd been holding in there, and Nim Karoli Baba is like looking at him and smiling, you know, and he's take him to the other room there, let him sit down peacefully, give him some milk sweets. So he was there for about 45 minutes. And then I don't want to tell you the story. So then the next day he showed him LSD and he said, "Do you know what this is?" And he said, looked at it and he said, "It gives you cities, you know, powers like that." So he gave him like about, you know, 6 hits of LSD. Well, one thing is enough for one time, one experience. The guy went like that. Albert's looking at him, and he's calculating his body weight, his age, like that, the dosage, like that. So he was there all morning with him, and he's waiting for something to happen, you know. And then people are coming and going, he's talking to them, and every now and again he kind of looks at him and kind of goes, like that, like that. There's no reaction, you know. So anyway, I'm missing this point here. Oh yeah, qualification of bhakti, vairagya, being situated in everyone's heart. Yeah, oh yeah, okay. So he had all these experiences, you know. And okay, then what happened? Then Nimkaroli Baba left his body at some point. So it's not exactly sure whether he was a Mayavadi or the people who were associating with him took that from them. He gave that to them. He wasn't a guru in the sense of an acharya that acharya tells you what's right and wrong. He comes down to the Madhyamadikari platform and tells you. Well, Uttamadikari can stay in this Paramahamsa platform. He's just equal to everybody. If you want Mayavada philosophy, he'll give you that. If you want this and that, whatever you want. You know? So maybe he, whatever he was. But Henry Alpert, his comprehension, he described the Sankhya very nicely. It's a very nice description of the elements, the senses, the mind, all these things. Very nice description. You know? And like he said, people were saying, if people are, they know these sacrifices, they do these things. And then finally he says, you come to this door in the ceiling there, and it's the last reality, it's the last duality in the material world. He probably says the ultimate duality is this idea that I am separate from Krishna. That's the ahankar. I am separate from Krishna. I have a separate existence from Krishna. So he says, then you have to eliminate this ultimate duality, which the Buddhists and everybody else agree on that. And then you go through this door, and he says that nobody knows what's on the other side, but a guru has to take you. It's a very interesting philosophy. Many people follow this. And he said, but my guru's done this. He's gone through this, and he's become one with the universe. Right? My guru is having sex with every part of the universe at every moment. He's having sex with the microphone. He's having sex with the light. He's having sex with the electric cord. He's having sex with his beanbag. Anyway, it sounds kind of like, in comparison to that, all these things, advertisements they show on television. Get this, get that pleasure, get this pleasure. But India has the, you know, what is this compared to having sex with every single part of the universe at every moment? Yeah, you know, sign me up. I'll become your student like that. You know, it's $500. Yeah, give me your car. Yeah. So anyway, that was his conclusion. He came back to the West. He was doing a lot of lecturing. He came to the Berkeley Temple one time when we had the Ramayana there. It was the whole story. So devotees, they'd seen him give a lecture, and then I guess he was talking the same Mayavada philosophy. And they were walking with Prabhupada, and he was there, and he said, and we challenged him. He said, well, how do you know these things? And he quoted this verse, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. He quoted it, you know, Bhajatam Pratikorvakam. Krishna says, for those who are constantly devoted, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And then Prabhupada said, so the devotees are walking, what did you say? And the devotees said, well, we couldn't think of anything to say, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says, this means you don't know the philosophy. He said, this is for initiated devotee, right? Satata yuktanam. And he said, this means a diksha, initiated devotee, like that. So Prabhupada's saying, the one who engages in devotional service to the Lord according to regular principles is automatically freed from material desires. And in that pure state of mind, he can realize the Lord being situated in everyone's heart instructs him, the pure devotee, how he can ultimately attain the perfect position. Diksha kali bhakti kari atma samarpan se kali krishna kari tari atma san. The time of initiation, Krishna takes you as good as himself. The practical work, you do the work, you have the parampara, performs the ritual, the actual thing, and yes, now you're no longer a part of the material world. You know? You're learning. You know, a doctor, you go through all the medical things, and now they put you as an intern, right? And usually you have a resident, and usually you have to serve, for example, as a in the emergency ward. You know, so all these people come in, you know, emergencies, and you have to be able to to deal with them. Just like it's like, you know, super first aid, like that. You know, you're going to be able to do enough just to be able to get them stable. So that they can pass the night until the regular doctor comes in the morning, looks at everything and sees what has to be done, you know, in a more extended form like that. The emergency care nurse almost has the same level. It does, actually, maybe a little better than the intern. You know, so it's a team there. So that's kind of what we are. We take initiation, and now we are transcendental. Now Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra will take care of us, right? you're out in Sankirtan distributing books and some guy's going to kill you, and suddenly over the horizon at 795 miles an hour comes a Sudarshan Chakra, Chakra, chops the guy's head off and disappears over the other horizon like that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Jaya and Vijaya, you're going to hit Nityananda. Nityananda should tell them, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'm a devotee. Yeah, so what? I mean, I just recommend you don't do it, you know. Because this is, Krishna says this, you know, Bahamiyam, I take care of these people. And Baba says from the very beginning of his devotional career, the Sudarshan Chakra is there to protect devotees in different ways. Yeah. Sasrumara says protection means that we don't fall down from devotional service. You know, that whatever happens, we advance in devotional service. Yeah? So sometimes maybe, yeah, you may be burned alive. You may be beaten up and chased by dogs. You may be defeated in an argument. You may be humiliated. You may be neglected. But it's always to make sure you advance in devotional service. The greatest thing like that, the greatest lesson. So he's saying, they're saying, oh Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are worshipable by universal prayers and Vedic hymns and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, free from all visible and invisible material contaminations. We offer our respectful obeisances to you, the Master of Knowledge in devotional service. So they're going through all these things, discussing diksha, they're discussing sacrifice, they're discussing the things before initiation. And now this is the actual situation. As somebody, you know, if material desires are there and they're controlling us, they're forcing us to act like that. But a devotee who's initiated, he's no longer being controlled by material desires. Right? Yeah? And so therefore, if we're fixed properly, we have certain desires, we should understand them. Why is this happening? What is happening? It appears like an inauspicious desire. Right? Yeah? But it's not. You know. Buddhimanta, first person to distribute 100 big books in one day, like that. He came back to Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles, wanted to see him, to tell him. The secretary said, oh, he's busy right now, he's asked not to be disturbed. I have to see him. He goes, no, you can't go in. And he pushed past the secretary, went in, Prabhupada was writing, said, what do you want? He said, Prabhupada, I just distributed 100 of your big books in one day. And Prabhupada was just shocked. And he looked for some gift, there was nothing. So he took his shirt off and gave it to him. Shirt off on his back. Brimanta. Yeah. So he was doing these distributing. But he was a very passionate person. You know, maybe out of Shakti Vash Avatar and Raja Boom. Remember Brimanta? Yeah. I can go on telling stories about him, a few. For example, like after Mangal Arti, he'd have his Sankirtan, you know, speech for the Sankirtan devotees to go out, finish Mangal Arti, get out there, you know, chant your rounds whenever you can, you know, distribute your books, you know. So my office in the temple was like, you know, where the Tulsi house is, right? That far away across the prasadam room, you know, through the wall, the second wall. So I was in there and he was beating on the drum and giving his Sankirtan speech. I could hear it all the way back there with my ears covered like that sometimes. And these plastic mrdangas, he would break about one a week, right? Like that, the thing, the head like that. And he was, you know. So one time, for example, he wanted to take karate lessons, right? And I had a black belt in karate, and, you know, I knew all the karate studios around the area like that. It's just nice, you know, go look at them like that. Okay. And so then Hansa Duda said, okay, you can go and take karate lessons, but you go with Hanuman, like that, you know. He also knew, like, you know, very insightful person. Trey Rishi said one time, I don't worry, of all my GBC gobblers, Hansa Duda is probably the most intelligent. I don't worry about his intelligence, it's his morality I worry about. He himself described himself as immoral. So anyway, I took Buddhimanta to like 8 different karate studios, and one was like this Tai Chi place, and these guys in silence were just doing this. He kind of looks at me and goes, ah, stop, you know. So finally I went to a Taekwondo place, and Taekwondo is a direct, kick hard, you know, type style like that. So he looked at it and said, yeah. And we talked to the instructor, and the instructor's name was Roger Bliss. So, and right away, he looked at me and kind of like, Buddhimanta, right away he liked him, and, you know. So after one workout, we were heading back to the temple, and Buddhimanta pulled the car over on Telegraph Avenue right in front of a liquor store, went inside, and came out with a big ice cold bottle of 7-Up, 1 liter. Then he took the thing and he showed me he could drink the entire thing in one breath, like that. Like that. And this takes some time. I was sitting there watching this and sort of chanting. And he did the whole thing. You know? So you can imagine what that does, the sugar and the coal and the carbonation and the coal that does to your body. You know? But then he told me, he said, you know, if I hadn't become a devotee, this would have been beer. Right? And I could see it was a fact. You know? So it's time of initiation. Krishna adjusts your karma. He doesn't need all, like, you know, sentimental, soft-hearted women or great, you know, profound, you know, philosophers. He needs some real passionate, you know, can't consider the word here, like, yeah, kshatriyas, like that, to get out there and get those books out, you know. So that was his nature. So Krishna said, okay, we can use that. And it's what you're used to. So let's work from here. You're used to this. So we're going to start engaging in our little dialogue here, right? You're willing to talk to me, okay? Okay, so that's enough, you know. So now we're going to use all these things. So you kind of like have material desires and you don't have material desires. You have karma and you don't have karma. After you take the vows, do the initiation, give your sincere self to Krishna, like that. It's, by my understanding, is that before Durga has the ropes of your karma. We have to have ropes. We're little. We're tiny. You know, so we have to be protected by somebody. You know? And so Durga is taking care of us, that big sister. But we're being good. We want to be good boys and girls. And so we want to go back to the party with the adults and stop creating a disturbance. So she tells our mother, and her mother says, okay, I'll take care of him now. So she takes the ropes. You know? So now we have Krishna karma. Right? Same karma, or Krishna adjusts it so it's within civilized boundaries, usually. But now it's all under the control of Mahamaya, Yogamaya. Yogamaya. Yeah. So now we have desires, they're coming, we can't control them sometimes. But now they're not material desires. Right? Now Krishna is using this. Prabhupada says, sometime a devotee may have inauspicious dreams. And he said, this is because Krishna is giving you a chance to experience these things. You want to have bestial desires to have sex with your mother. So you have it in a dream. And you reject it, you know, in the dream. Okay. You haven't got to take birth as a cow or a bull, you know, to experience this. Right? So these things are coming now. And as they're saying, the Vedas are glorifying him as his form. This is your form. This is your activity, your nature. This is you, right? In the performance of Diksha, and the performance of Yajna, in all these different levels like that. You know? And then all your bodily hair is everything. And the morning time is your growth, right? The morning program. So Krishna is just about grown up now. One thing is left for him to be completely grown up. Sarirabhijajal maha. Yeah, that's the... Yeah. Then after the morning... Hansaluddha said, after the morning program, prasadam, you should sit together and meet. You know, have your calendar session. Sit down with what's going to happen now today. Make your plan after breakfast. Then passion starts. Planning is in the mode of passion. Yeah. Contemplating is in the mode of goodness. So, any final questions, comments? Vidura, I know you have some thoughts on this.
No, I know.
No, I know you do. That's what Jayananda would always do. Push people to give half the class, and he would just kind of sit there on the seat. You know. Yeah. Humble guy. Okay, tomorrow we'll hear more. There are 6 more prayers by these rishis. These are such wonderful prayers. So Pahapad ki.
Yeah.
Lord Varaha ki.
Yeah.
7-Up ki.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. What's his name?
By the way, there's Bundi Ladu and Seth from Mayapur at the Prashad Counter today.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
I don't know. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was consuming me. I need a rest today. It's such a feeling professional. Yeah.
You need to rest, so you have to.
I need to do that today. I need to do that.
Why is